Having a godly family in an ungodly world. Is that your desire? Is that the desire you have for your family? I'm sure it is, that you want to have a godly family. And we know we live in an ungodly world. So that's just the way it seems to be right now. And there's always been struggles. There's always been decisions to make in our families. And it's not stopping, so we've got to make good decisions. Having a godly family in an ungodly world. Well, Mama and Daddy, I want this or I want that. And you say, well, you can't have it right now. Well, why? Everybody else has it. Well, I'm two and I want an iPhone 23. Well, I'm sorry that you're two, but you're not getting an iPhone 23. But why? Everybody else has one. Well, you know the story and you know how the teaching starts. And a godly family. We said last week, if you could talk to Warren Buffett about investing, would you do that? And we come to the conclusion, yes, because of all he's known for. And I said, well, if your family is the greatest capital that you have, would you go talk with somebody on how to invest in your family? And the answer was yes. We come to the conclusion that God's Word is the one that we go seek out when it comes to the family and what God has said. It's no secret to all of us gathered in this room that in the last several years, when we talk about the American family or the family unit, that has been attacked by the devil himself. He's used all kinds of government agencies. He's used all sorts of people in government, in my opinion, to attack the traditional family, to attack what God said and he has ordained. In 1950, about one in every 20 children born in this country was born to an unmarried woman. Very few abortions. By 1990, more than one out of every four children were born to an unmarried woman, and hundreds of thousands more were aborted. We say, well, if we have a wedding this day and time, the numbers say 50% will end in divorce. That's half. And the numbers are the same church and outside of church. So you say, wow, what's happening with the family? The Apostle Paul, he said, I want to tell you a few things about end times. He said, I want you to know that there's going to be a breakdown. I want to tell you that there'll be a breakdown in true love and true commitment. And he tells us that in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2 on the screen. Here it comes. But mark this. Pay attention, write this down, mark it down, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. And you say, wow, I went to Sunday school and you read me the death psalm. I come in here and you say, boy, there are going to be bad times in the end days. What are you on today, preacher? Well, it is what it is. But mark this. Pay attention. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. You don't see that, do you? Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, to their parents, ungrateful and unholy. He says, I'm telling you this is, you're going to see this kind of thing happen. So we take that and we mark it down. We remember it. We also know that God said, this is the way I want my family to work. And he gives a scripture about that. We know this is what God says when it comes to the family unit and how he puts things together, and we'll look at some of that. In Genesis 2 on the screen, verses 21 through 24, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, the man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." So now the Lord, it says, so the Lord calls man, fall into the deep sleep, took the rib out, closed it up with flesh. He said, "This is going to be a woman." And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." All right, so we know that part. So we have a global, if you will, attack on the traditional family. You say, well, it's just in America. No, it's not. It's in third world countries. It's in people who live in a hut, but yet they have a cell phone. It's in all these unpopulated and highly populated places that the traditional family and the ideas that God has been torn apart, being attacked. One man, one woman for a lifetime. That's God's plan. You say, well, since we're talking about family, what about gay marriage? It's a hot topic. It's a topic where in America, yes. How about in India? Been reading some things on that Daniel pointed out. How about through the world? Yeah, through the whole world. And the society that we live in our country and around the world just can't seem to understand why the church stands against sin. We're called all kinds of names when we stand for the truth of God's word in the political arena. We're called right-wing conservatives. We're called on and on and on and on and on. But why can't society understand? Why can't the world in the time that we live in understand that God said this? Why can't we understand that God's word says this on any topic? Because they don't want to. Because they're calling right wrong and calling wrong right. Because their mind, in some cases, has been given over to their sinfulness. And God's people say, what is happening? Well, mark this. There'll be terrible times in the last days. That people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boastful and proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. And the last word says unholy. Mark it down. That's the way it'll be. As a Christ follower, we follow Jesus Christ. We follow God Almighty, and His Word has said, you are my people, and my people are to be holy. You're to live like this. And the Word of God explains it. We can get on whatever subject, and the Word of God gives us instruction. So the Word of God must be very important to a Christ follower, right? So then I have to ask myself, okay, I'm a Christ follower. To know Christ, I must be in the Word of God. I must be in the Bible to know and understand more and more, day by day, year by year, who God is, who Jesus is. Well, how does He tell me to live? If you want to talk about family the month of January, what does God say to the men? What does God say to the women? What does God say to children? What's His plan for the family? Well, it's important that we go to God's Word to get it, because this opinion, that opinion, you will not be judged on Ron Leonard's opinion. Aren't you glad? You won't be judged on whoever's opinion. You won't even be judged, youth, on Bill Widener's opinion. You'll be judged on the Word of God. Now, I hope Bill's opinion and my opinion, whoever's opinion, lines up with the Word of God. but we'll be judged by the Word of God. So if I'm going to be a Christ follower, should the Word of God not be very important to me? Yes, it should. And we stand for what He stands for. Look on the screen now, and you need to pay attention to this. Somebody said this: strong homes make strong churches, and strong churches make a strong nation. A strong home makes strong churches, and then strong churches make a strong nation. So, now, I can come here on Sunday, and I can do all the right things, so to speak, and maybe we call it going through the motions or whatever, but then Monday through Saturday, you know, I go home, and Judy sees me better than anybody. And she sees my good, and she sees my bad. She sees my strengths, she sees my weaknesses. When it comes to Judy, I see the best in her and the worst in her. We know each other for 35 years we've been married. Right? 35. So we know each other. We know we're not perfect. We know we're striving to live the way God tells us, but we see each other. And if I'm not living up to what Christ has told me to live up to in treating the family and treating the wife and living in that home with the peace of God and Christ being the head of it, when I get here, I guarantee you things won't be the way they should be if I'm not living it in the home. So we got to look at the home sometimes. Well, everything's the church's fault. Everything's the school's fault. Everything's somebody else's fault. No, I got to look at me. You got to look at you. What are you doing? How are you living? How is Ron Leonard living when it comes to the family and the home? The home is so important. And you hear it and you've heard it all your life, but yet, it seems like it doesn't work out sometimes. Strong homes. You got to be strong in the Lord in your home. Then it comes to the church. And then it comes to the nation. So we've got to have strong homes. Romans 1:26 on the screen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men condemned indecent acts, committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. You say, yuck. And Paul goes on in Romans 1:32, he says, though they know God's decree, that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So we go back and we look at that scripture and we all know what it says without a deep explanation. We know the sin of it. And then they, in verse 2, they that know God's decree, that those who practice such things deserve to die, all right? They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And if that doesn't sound like a bunch of people in D.C., I don't know what it is. And I'm not just on them. This word is for all of us. But you got a group of people who will stand up before a nation and you take this however you want to take it. But I pray every day, some of them said, for Trump. I pray every day. Well, I'm not their judge. Maybe they do. But I pray every day for this and I pray every day for that. I want to stand up. I want to jump through the TV sometimes and say, listen here, if you're praying to the God, the true and living God, why are you killing thousands upon thousands of babies a year? How can you say that's right if you're praying? Will God not convict you of such sin? The God I live for convicts me of sin. He tells me things that are wrong, and I have to turn. I have to choose to turn from those things. And yet people stand before a nation, oh, I pray for the president, I pray for this, and I pray for that. But the policies you're pushing on America says no, according to God's word, says no. You don't live that way. How do you explain that? Help me understand that. I don't understand how they can do it. Though they know God's decree and those who practice it deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. How can you give approval to that when God's word stands against it? It irritates me. I'm not trying to stand here and be holier than thou. I'm not trying to stand here and say I'm somebody's judge. I'm not. But if I read the Word of God and if I can understand it any form or fashion, you cannot call what God says is sin. You can't turn around and say it's okay. You cannot do that and be right with God. Oh, you can do it and have some popular movement maybe, but you can't do that and be right with God. There's no way. James Dobson said, a family is not a collection of individuals who happen to live at the same address. They're people who share an intimate and complex connection with one another, being related by marriage, birth, or adoption. Together, they're something larger and more significant than the contribution of each person taken singly. The association locked together by love and lifelong commitment must have a secure place in the American legal structure. To continue to undermine its foundations and erode its authority is to destroy the very fabric of American life. And you say, well, you know, we're in the South. We got it pretty good. Maybe that's true to some degree. But the family unit is so important in what God said about it. Next slide. A godly home has Christ as the head. And you say, well, I know that. Sure, we know that, but we got to practice that. We know it, but we got to practice it. A godly home has Christ at the head of it. And we can tell the jokes, we can do all these things about the man, the head, the wife, and all this, and we know what Scripture says. But listen, Christ is the head of all of it. Christ has to be the head to have a godly home. He's given instructions to husbands and children, to wife, and the key is Jesus. The key is Jesus being the head of that home. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And you've seen it in wedding after wedding. And braiding that in the symbolism of the man, woman, and God. That the threefold cord's not quickly broken. A godly man, a godly woman, and the Lord Jesus Christ ahead of both. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. There's some order to this. I'm not going to say a chain of command like military, but in a way it is. There is an order that society must live by. There is an order that God has placed, and He says this is the way to have a godly family. And we're either going to live by it and be blessed or ignore it and be cursed. It's just that simple. So, we go on. We think about Noah. First righteous man we find in Genesis 7:1. Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your household, for I've seen you're righteous before me in this generation. Now, what did Noah do? He submitted to what the Lord told him to do. How do you know? Because in chapter 6, verse 22, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Genesis 7:5, and Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was doing what he commanded. He submitted to the Lord, and his family submitted to him and to his leadership, and the whole household was saved by the flood. Chain of command, order that God gives. Joshua 24:15 on the screen. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you're now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know that scripture too. It's not on, do we know it, do we have head knowledge, but is it in the heart? Are we going to be intentional about doing it? Are we going to keep the line where it needs to be? Are we going to do, but are we going to say, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord? You going to say that, Colton? Talking about putting you on the spot. I pray to God you do. Because the wrath of Ron Leonard's coming if you don't. And that's not compared to anything about the wrath of God. And that's a joke, and I love Colton, and I love him as a son-in-law. I don't know if I've ever said that in public. I say a lot about kids, but he's doing a good job, and I'm proud of him because he's going to have me another little grandson, Jennifer is. It's a boy. It's a boy. But I am proud of you, and I'm proud of Jennifer, just like you're proud of your kids. But I want to tell you something. If Cannon's future is influenced by you, you must be a man of God and a woman of God. And the next family and the next family here, I can pick on them and get by with it about half. If I start calling on you, I really get in trouble. Do you know how important that is to me? Do you know how important that is to you? Setting here too that our family and our children and our grandchildren say, listen here, but for me and me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. It's so important. It's so important. It was important way back here when this was written in Joshua 24. It was important then. It's been important all the way through. It's important right now. And when I'm dead and gone and buried in the ground, but alive with Christ in heaven and with a glorified body, exalting Him, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty around the throne. There'll be some descendants, there'll be some little fellows that's grown up, and I'll be worshiping the Lord, and my prayer is, God, that every one of them will be saved and be godly people. And I know that's the same with you, that you have that prayer. The experts have said through the years, you need to decrease the number of children that you're having per family. You need to increase the education of parents. You need to spend more money on government programs and child welfare and on. And you know what? We've done a lot of that as a country. And what results have we got? Child poverty increased. Adult poverty increased. School performance declined. So we can do some things, and all of them are not bad. But we don't get the result we're after if we do not have a godly home, if we don't have a godly family, if we don't have a head of the house that's a man who loves God and a wife who loves God and a father and a mother who's living by the word of God and pouring into their children and their grandchildren the word of God, we do not get the results that we need. We can't take Jesus out of anything. And there's article after article and post after post that says, well, you've thrown Jesus out of the courts, out of the school, out of the whatever, won't you invite him back? And we read all that. And I understand what they're saying. But folks, this is serious business. It's more than a Facebook post. It's the future of a nation. that Jesus must be the head of homes. Well, the experts are experts, they say. But if Christ is not the head of the home, all that other stuff is not going to help us that much. Mutual love, respect between a husband and a wife. Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as in fitting to the Lord." Verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Ephesians 5:21, "Submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God." Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing." A godly home. Strong homes make strong churches, and strong churches make a strong nation. There's discipline in a godly home. Means we train, means we instruct. Hebrews 12:6, "For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Verse 7, "It's the discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Verse 8, "If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." Proverbs 15:10 on the screen, "Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die." He who hates correction will die. Carl Zimmerman, you've heard of him. He wrote a book, Family and Civilization. And the whole gist of this, we could say it like this. So goes the children, so goes the culture, so goes the family, so goes society. We can have all kinds of rules, but we need some morals. We can have all kinds of good ideas, but we need Jesus. And Jesus Christ the Lord must be head of the home if we want a godly home. And if we want a godly family in an ungodly world, we got to pay attention. We got to pay attention to what God says. And when we know what he says, we must carry through with it. And rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do those things. A godly family in an ungodly world, it's possible with the Lord's help. Stand with me. Our Father in heaven, today we come again with this subject, the family. And Father, we know it's so important to you. And we know you've made it clear in your word. And I know that I've failed when it comes to this subject. And I've asked for forgiveness in many areas. And I know that I'm striving and I'm trying to be the man of God you want me to be. The husband, the son, the grandparent, on and on it goes. And Father, without your help, we'll not get it right. But with your help, all things are possible. With your help, you change us if we'll cooperate. So, Lord, where are we at? As individuals? And I guess the bottom line, Lord, how's men treating their husbands and how's wives treating their husbands, or how's men treating their wives and children? Are they obeying parents? Are they being taught to do that? Is the Word of God more important than the dance recital? Is the kingdom of God more important than the soccer game? When you look at the American family, I truly believe that your heart is broken. And you look around the world and you see all this foolishness, the stuff that you've just plainly told us that is sin and wrong, and governments trying to make it right. And a government of any nation can't make something right that you said is wrong. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you bless every family here. Every family that's represented here. There's people standing here right now, and their children aren't here because they're attending church wherever. In other states, even another country, for some grandparents and parents gathered here today. But your word and your spirit's far-reaching. So every family that's represented here today, I'm praying for the strength of Almighty God. Young families and trying to get a grip on raising children and having another child or whatever, and no children, and what do we do about that? Or trying to be grandparents and trying to stand for what's right and what's true. So God, we're asking for your help. We're not taking for granted that because we're in the South, we've got it all figured out. So I'm just asking for you to empower us. I'm asking for you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. That you would be pleased with husbands here and wives here, and whatever we need to change in our outlook or in our hearts, God, that we would change. That children and homes that are represented here, Lord, if they're being disobedient and rebellious, God, that your Spirit would show them. Somebody right here, right now, says, I know I need to be saved. I really need to ask Jesus to forgive me of sin. God, cause it to happen today. Areas of our life that the Spirit of God is saying, I want you to submit to this. Here's what I have for you. And we're struggling to submit. God, help us to submit today to the Word of the living God. So we thank you for loving us, and we're thankful that you're here. Now, Lord, as we go to this altar call, as people stand or come to an altar in prayer, God, I ask you to move and to meet needs that we'll be better people. In Christ's name, amen.